I'm very happy now to welcome back to the program Bobby Heller. She's Executive Director of Felines and Friends New Mexico. Welcome.
Thank you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you and to the kitties. And you have a wonderful person as part of your organization who sends us kitty announcements every Thursday, and I read them on Friday about which is the little kitty that's up for adoption this week, and it's always a different one, and they all sound so sweet and cute. But there's a whole organization behind this Felines and Friends announcement, which is basically a cat rescue and placement organization. Is that right?
Yes, it is. We are 100% volunteer, and we are Second Chance. And what we do is we are contacted on a regular basis by Santa Fe Shelter, Española, and sometimes Los Alamos, to try to give a cat that's not doing well at the shelter for one reason or another a chance at a home. And so we tend not to take from the public if they're adoptable. We send them to the shelter. We ask them to take them to the shelter for placement, which then allows us the space in our foster homes, hopefully, to take one that actually is not going to do well at the shelter.
What makes a cat not do well at the shelter?
Loss of home, actually, on the older ones is very common. They shut down emotionally.
Oh.
And this is not a reflection on the shelter by any means. I mean, we've got a beautiful Santa Fe shelter, and, you know, the staff there and the others are wonderful and caring. It's really that the animals, and dogs have the same problem, their separation and their loss of the only home they've ever known. And some of them, if they're there too long, will start to shut down emotionally, or they will start to have health issues, whether it be digestive or chronic upper respiratory and so forth. And it's all stress-related.
They sound not entirely unlike us.
Correct. We don't do well with change of environment. I mean, heavens knows, you know, it takes a few days to get used to being on the road when you're traveling.
Right. So. Much less ripped away from the people you love and things like that.
Right. Exactly.
So you get these cats and then you place them in foster homes?
Yes. We're always in need of foster homes for that reason, because it doesn't do any good to take them from the shelter, which is a, you know, very, very good environment, and their adoption center is very nice. It doesn't do any good to take a cat from there and put it straight into a cage at our adoption center.
Right.
They need a halfway house. They need time to adjust to getting to know new people, new environment, and sort of letting go of the home that they knew and the routine that they knew. Then they usually can go to Petco, where our adoption center is, for a week, and then go back into foster.
So the people who foster them are basically loving cat people who will snuggle them and scratch their ears and all the things that they need to kind of readjust to a new home and new humans.
Exactly. They will also give them the time they need. So if they need to hide for the first 2 weeks, then they're allowed to hide, and then they come out on their own, making sure that they are eating regularly and not going on a hunger strike.
Do cats go on hunger strikes?
Yes, we've actually had that happen.
Oh,
and
goodness.
That's Kelly, who is our main contact for the Second Chance Kitties at Santa Fe Shelter. I will get an email from her saying this one has stopped eating, or it barely wants to eat, or it's in a little ball in the back corner. And so we come and get those as soon as we have a place. Right now, they've asked us to take, I think, three kitties, and they're just waiting for foster homes. So we haven't been able to remove them yet because we don't have a place for them. And so that's the next thing. And as soon as we have a place, we can pull them from the shelter and start them through the rehabilitation process.
How do you get cats to eat?
Sitting with them. Sometimes you have to have them on your lap. Baby food, house treats. I mean, sometimes we don't know what they've been fed. And just a change of diet freaks them out. And so that takes time, and it takes one-on-one. And a regular shelter does not have the resources to do the one-on-one and do kitty psychology for every one of these cats that's got a little bit of a problem.
Right.
But they all come out of it eventually, and they just need time.
Now, is there any food that every cat loves?
I would say 99% of cats will eat Gerber's baby food.
Really? I thought you were going to say, like, tuna fish.
No, not all cats like fish. But baby food, for some reason, a little slightly warmed. So whenever we get a call from somebody saying, my cat has stopped eating or it's not doing well or whatever, we say, look, the first thing you can do is run out to the store and get Gerber's. And for some reason, Gerber's has less salt than the other brands. And so we stick to Gerber's turkey and chicken and
yeah, I was going to say, not mushed carrots.
No, not mushed carrots and peas. No, they... They're not as many vegetarians and vegans as there are in Santa Fe. Please do not try to make your cat one. It does not work.
It does not work, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking to Bobby Heller of Felines and Friends. So you get a lot of cats every year, and you place a lot of cats every year.
Yes, we do. We typically get well over 200 cats. As I said, mostly from the shelters, but there are those that we do take directly from the public. If we know they're not going to do well because of what they've described, they've got a health issue, they need to be on a special diet, sometimes they're diabetic. There's many reasons. And then the others are from the shelters. We placed last year 188 cats, and that is down. The last couple of years have been down. We've typically been able to accept a couple of hundred and place a couple of hundred with having an average of 60, 65 cats in foster as the overlap. We are down in our placements, as are the shelters.
Why is that?
I think it's still the economy. I think we are still being affected by the economy. We're still seeing the adoption rate down below what we did a few years ago, but the intake rate has increased, and that continues to be the ongoing issue for private organizations as well as the shelters.
So all these poor little kitties, because of an economy that is far beyond their control, aren't getting adopted as much.
Well, yes, and of course, because we're second chance, we are taking cats that need something a little more, and it could be that they need a little additional vet care or ongoing, because they're older, special diets and so forth. So that has an impact on a person's ability. They might be able to adopt a regular young cat, but if it's an older cat and it needs something, that comes into the equation of their decision. And we do want to make sure that people are adopting animals that they're able to care for.
Now, how do you deal with the vet care needs of the cats who you take in or who are in foster care?
We cover those costs, so that's our fundraising effort every year. We have our annual fundraiser in June, and we do a year-end letter that goes out to the database that we have, and we did do well this year, but certainly nowhere near the target of 20,000, which is what we try to raise to make up the shortfall of the actual costs of rescue and care versus our adoption fee.
So basically, you're a volunteer and everybody's a volunteer.
Yes.
Who's taking care of the animals.
Yes, we're all volunteers. I actually do have two other basically part-time jobs as well as a freelance job.
Oh my goodness. So what are you looking forward to this year?
Hopefully an improvement in the economy, but boy, I don't think we've started off this year correctly. We need more donations, large and small. I mean, when we did our mail out this December, we said even $5 will make a difference, because it went out to 1,500 people.
Yeah.
And even if 1,500 people had sent in $5...
Yeah, it makes a big difference. Yeah,
so we no donation is too small. We do need also donation of time. There's always things that need to be done, whether it be foster homes, the physical care at the adoption center at Petco, or administrative.
Ah, okay. So if people have database skills or things like that, or what kind of administrative?
Yes, everything from running the database for the equipment comings and goings. We really could use a new volunteer coordinator. The one that we have is doing a fabulous job, but she's also doing three other jobs. She's not in Santa Fe, and so we are looking to find somebody who would be willing to at least co-chair the position,
right,
phasing in to help with that, who's here in Santa Fe. That's another thing. We do have a great advertising publicity coordinator, as you know, so I know she's enjoying it. Other things are when we come to do our fundraiser, and myself and a couple of other people have done it all every year, and this will be our fifth annual, so we really would love to have help with people who don't mind going out once a year, going to the list of places that donate to us and asking,
right,
will they donate again this year, the gift certificates.
Nice. Now, are you involved in spay neuter?
Heavily spay neuter. We do provide traps, and the Gatos de Santa Fe program at the Santa Fe shelter has been a blessing. They are sterilizing, microchipping, and vaccinating against rabies feral and stray cats or free roaming cats, and we hope that this concerted effort will see a decrease in kittens this coming season. It has met with some resistance in some members of the community because of birds, but the reality is that a healthy, sterilized cat that is being fed by a caretaker does less damage to wildlife than many other things that are in the environment simultaneously.
Wait. I don't get the connection with the birds.
Well, feral cats, if they're not being fed, they're multiplying and they need to eat. So there is a...
Oh, so they're eating birds.
They potentially are eating birds and lizards and so forth. But
right,
for every bird or lizard, the proof has been, and this is a whole other hot button topic that can be discussed, but there's been studies across the nation that for every bird and lizard, they are removing dozens and dozens of vermin and...
Mice.
So in Santa Fe...
I had a mouse in my dog food the other day, the kibbles.
Lovely. Yeah. Yes, well, they made itself at home, so you wouldn't have that if you had a cat. But, so what we're trying to say is if you control the colonies and we take the kittens and anything that's in the colony that's tame, place them as indoor cats, get the colony numbers under control.
Yeah.
They are doing a good job of pest control, and the mice then, we're not going to have the problems that have been seen in the last few years with hunter virus, plague, fleas that are you know, attaching themselves, that are carrying those and so forth. So there's actually a benefit to having healthy community cats.
There are a lot of feral and sort of, I guess you might call them semi-feral cats. Like on my street, there's cats who kind of get semi-fed by people who live there, but they stay outside and they are multiplying every year. And I mean, I've tried to talk to my neighbors about them, but nothing ever happens. It's just a little mini cat colony down the street.
And that's a problem across the country, let alone just here. Anybody that's feeding cats really should take the extra responsibility of doing the trap-neuter return. And the shelter is the place to start with having the resources. It won't cost anything except your time. You can get traps. You transport them out there. They get checked out. They get their ear clipped, they get rabies vaccines and so forth. And
why do they clip their ears?
That way you can tell that it's part of a controlled colony.
Yeah.
That's a nationally recognized symbol. It's been around for, I think, 30-something years.
Okay.
So even the cats in Venice, Italy have clipped ears.
Good heavens.
Because it transferred over there. And that's how you know you've got a controlled colony. And you can see who the newcomers are.
Right. Very interesting.
So if your neighbors are feeding, they should be getting them fixed.
Right. Bobby, how did you get into this work yourself?
Well, some 27, 28 years ago in Los Angeles, I lived up the street from the proverbial little old lady feeding a bunch of cats. And unfortunately, some of them were being hit by cars. And one day I just couldn't stand it anymore. I had one of them die in my arms.
Aww.
And I just said, you know, something has to be done. And it was in the early stages of trap neuter release. It was actually before Alley Cat Allies, which is now a nationally recognized organization.
Alley Cat Allies?
Yes.
That's good.
Which is an organization nationwide of community groups taking care of the ferals and getting them fixed. So I took it upon myself to get her batch that was 20-something in her backyard fixed and grabbed all the kittens, fostered them in my bathroom, tamed them down. I ended up with a couple of them, of course. And it started from there, much to my husband's dismay, because he's lived with now Cat Rescue for 28 years of our 30-year marriage. So
wow. So he didn't really sign up for that, but is
No.
We hope going along.
Yeah, well, he's been very, very supportive. But yes, it does get out of control when he used to come into the office and there'd be like, you know, a dozen or so cats running around and hanging off the bookshelves and so forth.
Do you still foster them?
I will now foster one special needs that needs additional vet care, you know, ongoing care, because one of my jobs is out of the house, so it's fine. But we have two elderly special needs cats from the organization, so those are the permanent fosters, and then I will take on either underage kittens or a single older cat that needs something until it can go into a regular foster home. So I'm putting the word out, we are constantly in need of foster homes, people willing to allow an extra cat or two to live in a guest bathroom, bedroom. We provide the playpen cages if it's kittens. But we really could use the help, even though it's not kitten season yet, is to get these adults placed. And
when's kitten season?
Kitten season is basically when we see the first explosion of kittens being born to these community colonies.
But I mean like March, April?
Depending on weather. Yes. I mean, this year I'm hoping it'll be a normal end of March, April, because we've got this cold snap. In past years when we had a very mild winter, there really was no break.
Right.
We had kittens being born right before Christmas.
Good heavens.
Which is, you know, it doesn't give any of us a break.
Felines and Friends can be reached at fnfnm.org, and you can write to askfelinesandfriends@yahoo.com. And is there a phone number?
316-CAT-1.
What's that in numbers?
316-2281.
Bobby Heller is Executive Director of Felines and Friends New Mexico. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.